good people who have traveled from villages near and far. Lend me your ears.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home?
What's up, Miss Tasty?
What's up, what's up?
Hi there, nice to see you. Bumblebee Tuna? Bumblebee Tuna!
Hello, West Mantooth. Hello, Evening News Team.
You are now listening to another edition of Movie Review Crew.
Welcome to the Goody Room.
But their ability to open is f***ing heroic.
And now, with your permission, I'm going to do my stuff.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to do the best I can.
All right, welcome in, everybody. This is another edition of the Movie Review Crew. I'm your host, Mike Lucas, and joining me is Matt McNeil.
Hey.
Brent Frugier.
Hello.
And Steve Rushlaw.
How you doing?
Great. Social distancing episode...
Four or five?
Something like that, yeah.
I think this would be five, because Shane's the only one that hasn't picked yet, so I think this is five.
I think you're right.
This is only the second one for me, so...
Is this episode six, though? Because we did do, like, a catching up where we didn't talk about a specific movie.
Yeah, so I guess this would be six, because we've done... This is the fifth movie, and six was just, hey, how you doing? We're coming back.
Right. Like let's test the waters of this whole Zoom thingy, you know? Anyway, that being said, do you guys miss being in person?
I think it's kinda easier. I mean, we have to drive, but I mean, it's just easier when we're all there, I think.
Yeah, I miss the group hugs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice to... I mean, that's kind of the reason why I do this is we get to hang out some. We get to do something every week, see each other. Like Brent said, driving's a pain. So, it's kind of nice that I could just walk down to my basement and pop on my computer and talk to you guys. So.
Yeah, I will say it is a little nice. Like, it cuts out time. Like, we can all start at 2. Just, like... It's everybody's at their leisure. Dude, that's one thing I love, like, working from home, though, is I don't have to commute to and from work. That's, like, an extra hour out of my day that I just get.
I mean, that saves a lot of gas, too. I mean, that's a lot of money there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
I don't get to work from home, so I don't get that.
Yeah. Neither do I.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is what it is. There's perks to this whole pandemic thing, anyway. What is the sound?
What? Well, my phone just went off, but I also have people talking in the background that I think it's picking it up.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Steve's wife is sanding the floor, so if you hear a buzzing sound, we don't have bees attacking.
It's murder.
It's
hornets.
The murder hornets.
Yeah, murder hornets are back.
Or is it a vuvuzela?
Oh, hey, yeah. Soccer's back in session, I think. Yeah, right.
I think they're starting back up.
Some Euro. Yeah.
Unlike baseball.
Well, I couldn't sleep last night at like 4 in the morning or something like that. There was some Korean baseball on TV. And it's live. Like, and yes. It's very weird. Like, there's nobody in the audience, but they had like these mascots and they were wearing like masks, which I thought was funny. Maybe it was just because of lack of sleep. I found that hilarious.
The mascots or the people?
The mascots had masks on, like, over their big mascot heads. And then they had, like, these dancers. And, like, that's the only people that were in the audience were the mascot and the dancers. And I was like, okay, Korean baseball.
Yeah, like, the Korean baseball, Japanese baseball, that stuff's actually pretty hype. It's way more fun to watch than American baseball.
Well, considering American baseball isn't going to be back this year because, hey.
Well, no, but just in general, it's American baseball sucks.
Okay.
This guy, but I did see a picture of I don't know which soccer league was. They digitally input fans into the crowd.
Did they really?
Oh, it looks so, like, if you could find it, go look. It looks like 2001 NCAA football where they're like so pixelated.
Yes.
It's like the crowd is just flat. It looks so bad.
You know, that actually. What were you going to say, Brent? No, go ahead.
I was
going to
say, there was one that I saw where they had just a bunch of, like, giant stuffed animals in the crowd instead of people.
Yep, that's what I was thinking of. But also, this reminds me of, coming back to movies a little bit, Rocky. The original Rocky was on such a shoestring budget that I believe that there are cardboard cutouts in a lot of the stands, but they're in like shaded in darkness, and it's shot so well that you don't even notice in the moment. So, yeah, coming back to movies. Have we reviewed Rocky yet?
I don't think so.
No,
I don't think we have.
Is it streaming on anything? Whose pick's coming up?
It was on Netflix for a while, but I don't know if it is or not. Let's move on. Let's get into a segment of what have you seen lately. And let's start with Matt. What have you seen lately?
As far as movies, I haven't really watched any new ones. I did watch The Lodge, and I put a review on that up on the Too Spooky page, so everybody can go check that out. But other than that, I really haven't watched any new movies. I have been watching this basketball show that's pretty good, but you guys wouldn't like it because it's a cartoon. So,
what's it called, though?
I forget the name of it. I forget the name of it.
This sounded really suspicious. Yeah, my girlfriend, she's so hot, but she goes to a different school.
No, it's an anime, so it's got an anime title. I forget what it's called, but it's actually a pretty good basketball show.
All right. Brent, what about you?
I actually just the other day I watched that Good Boys movie. I think it came out in 2019 or 18 or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I didn't have very high expectations going into it just because I saw previews and stuff like that. I'm like, it's going to be pretty cliche and not very good. But for whatever reason, I decided to watch it. And it wasn't that bad, actually. There were a few scenes in that movie where I legit laughed out loud. I mean, a lot of it just, you know, a little chuckle here, like, oh, yeah, I saw that coming, so that's pretty obvious. But there were a few times where I laughed out loud. So I wasn't disappointed that I watched it.
All right. Steve, what about you?
I've just been watching some stuff that my wife had been watching. There's a movie. I don't know how old it is. It's called Stick It. It's a gymnastics movie with Jeff Bridges as the coach. Not a bad movie. I enjoyed it. I think Jeff Bridges could pretty much pull off any character he wants.
Is Jeff Bridges doing gymnastics in the movie at all?
He does do a couple things, mostly on the trampoline. So,
How old is Sold. Jeff Bridges in this movie?
Oh.
It sounds like a 90s movie or early 2000s.
I mean, the movie's from 2006. Jeff Bridges.
So 15 years ago, basically.
Was born in 49.
So cross multiply, solve for X.
Yeah.
So, wait, what year did you say it came out?
2006.
57.
So yeah, depending on when it was filmed, 56, 57.
Yeah.
Interesting. And then I've been watching some – I haven't really watched any movies. I've been kind of trying to fix up my house, as you can hear the sander going in the background. But I've been catching up on some TV shows. I like watching Bosch, about the detective. Michael Conlon.
I'm not even familiar with that one. Bosch?
So it's based off the books by Michael Conley. Harry Bosch is a L.A. detective. I've read – every one of the books. There's like 30 of them. Titus Welliver plays Harry Bosch. It's quite interesting to watch the show. It's done really well. And that's Amazon Prime original.
Okay.
And then I had been told that I would like the show Psych.
Oh, yeah.
With James Rhodey.
I enjoyed that show. When it was on, I watched it originally, and that became one of my favorite shows at that time.
You know who else loved that show? My mom.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm on
season... It seems like a very your mom show.
Yeah, yes, a little bit.
I'm on season two, and so far, it's pretty good. I'm enjoying it. So that's what I've watched.
All right.
It's a very much your mom show. Is that an insult or?
No, it's just an observation.
Okay.
I mean, I take that back. There's two shows that my mom watches that actually I kind of enjoyed, Psych and Monk.
I knew you were going to say
Monk. I knew
it was
going to be Monk. Yeah, dude, that is a very Your Mom show.
Yeah. Like, for some reason, dude, moms across America love Monk. They actually came back and did like a pandemic thing about washing your hands with Adrian Monk, which was kind of funny.
Did they?
Yeah, well, because I think I don't know if it was Tony Shalhoub or if it was Tony Shalhoub's wife, who plays Adrian Monk, caught the coronavirus super early on. And so he was like, hey, I just want everybody to be like serious about this, wash your hands, this and that. And he was in full character, and it was actually pretty funny to watch. I watched a little movie called Stardust. This is my girlfriend's favorite movie, and I don't know how to sum it up, but it's like, think of like knights in shining armor mixed with steampunk, mixed with like magic and fairy dust.
So it's bad. You could just say it's bad.
And hocus pocus, like the whole thing. There's a witch's coven, and it is, it's interesting enough to keep your attention, but it is like the cheesiest of cheesy one moment, and then like pull at your heartstrings in another. Let me just, Robert De Niro plays this really effeminate sky captain who like powers this electric zeppelin thingy, and he dances, and he dresses up in this dress, and it is the most mind-boggling thing ever, because it's just Robert freaking De Niro doing this. Anyway, it's worth watching for that character and that character alone. It's called Stardust.
It's Stardust 2007, by the way, because I just looked up Stardust on IMDb, and there's one from 1974 that is something completely different.
Yes, yes. It's from 2007. Also, I started the series Atlanta, and this one was actually one. It won, I think, a couple Emmys, and it's very popular, but I tried watching it a couple years ago, and I couldn't find it anywhere, and now it's on Hulu to stream. And I'm only like three episodes in, but for being in the format of a half hour comedy, it has tackled some very serious situations already. And it's pretty damn funny, even though it's not like what's the one show with Sheldon and Leonard?
Big Bang.
It's not like Big Bang, where they like set up zingers on each other, or it's legitimately like a show and like a character's life, and the situations just happen to be pretty funny.
So it's a situational comedy and not like a,
well,
I thought for sure, Mike, that you were gonna say it's not like the Big Bang in that it's not funny.
No, I mean, dude.
Because the Big Bang's not funny.
But say what you will, but the Big Bang has, I think, the largest viewership of any TV series right now.
Well, that just proves that people are dumb.
They're doing something.
Wow, there goes all our fans.
I don't want to say that, like, only movies that get a lot of viewership are worth it, and only TV shows that get a lot of viewership are you know, funny. But, like, you've obviously doing something, right? You know?
I mean, Big Bang
Theory is like the lowest common denominator of TV shows.
Steve, what are you going to say?
I mean, they're doing something right. They've been on, I think they just finished up this year, but I mean, 10 years and they had the number one slot in their time slot for 10 years. That's, they're doing something right. I mean, you might not like it, but
somebody does.
Doing something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a fan of that show. I've seen a few episodes, but like, it also is just taste. Like, you go back to like the 90s and Friends and Seinfeld were, you know, the big shows, and not everybody liked those, but they were huge. So, I mean, just what people like.
Seinfeld was like the number one show in America for like seven straight years.
The last episode they had brought in like more viewers than the Super Bowl or something like that.
How
so
wild is that?
What's the deal with Seinfeld?
There's a Jerry Seinfeld. Exactly. Do you guys know who Larry King is?
Yes.
Yes.
Jerry Seinfeld has this big old rant when Larry King asks him, like, did they cancel Seinfeld or did you cancel Seinfeld? And he just goes on from this big rant. He's like, Larry, I was the most popular man in America. It's pretty funny. It's pretty worthwhile to watch. Anyway, Yeah. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about before we get into this week's movie?
I guess one thing that I've kind of forgot about, but you know, they had that HBO Max and they have like a free 7-week trial that I signed up for.
Hang on. Is it HBO Go, HBO Now, or HBO Max?
Max. Yes. The one where it's like, with all their streaming stuff. Like, they have a lot of stuff on there. Like, they have Fresh Prince of Bel-Air on there because it's really? Like Warner Brother 2. So they have like all the DC stuff and like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And then there was a show on HBO that I watched as a kid. I mean, it's not really a kid-appropriate show, but I watched it as a kid called Arliss that's on there. And I've been rewatching some of those episodes and it's kind of cool, but my week's almost done, so, and I don't have like an extra $16 a month, so I probably won't be able to keep watching them.
Dang. Did you say it's $60 a month?
16.
Oh, I was like, geez.
No, yeah. I think it's like $15.99 or something like that, yeah. But whatever.
Would you say?
Yeah, Arliss. Arliss is basically a show that was in the 90s about a sports agent.
Okay.
And, it's not a kid show. It's kind of dirty and stuff like that, but I loved it as a kid.
I've been That's re-watching. Why he loved it as a kid.
Yeah, right. No, I've been rewatching some of those, and I don't know. There's still some funny moments, I guess, but maybe not quite as funny as I remember as a kid.
All right. I can dig it. Is it? You said it has like WB stuff and whatnot.
Yeah.
Would you say it's better or worse than Netflix?
I guess it would depend on what you like, because Netflix doesn't have stuff like The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air or like some of the HBO shows like Arliss. It has Oz on there, which was like a huge hit for HBO back in the 90s or whatever it was. It has The Sopranos. So if you like stuff like that, obviously that's going to be better for you. But Netflix also has, you know, other stuff like a lot of stand-up things and stuff like that. So I think it depends on more of what you like, and I believe Netflix is cheaper, so.
Yeah. So that brings up another good thing is we're doing movies that you can stream for the entire month of June, and whether that be like you have to rent it on Amazon or it's on Netflix or Hulu or HBO Max, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, I want to pose the question to you guys. What streaming service do you find yourself using the most?
Probably Netflix. Like at the moment it would be that HBO Max just because I'm trying to get as much as I can out of the free week and see if that's something I do want to budget in or not. But mostly I would probably say Netflix.
Interesting.
Crunchyroll.
The hell's Crunchyroll?
Anime stuff.
Yeah, it's an anime streaming service.
Who invited you?
You did.
That's fair.
I honestly don't know which one I use the most because I go back and forth between Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon Prime because, like, Bosch and Psych are on Prime, and then Hulu has its stuff, and Netflix has its original. So, I don't know. I'd probably say right now I'd probably use Hulu the most.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. Like, if I'm watching a series, I'll be using that streaming service, obviously. Like I was watching Game of Thrones on HBO, so every single night, basically for 4 weeks, we were just binging Game of Thrones. And then I'm watching Atlantis, and that's on Hulu. But I find myself if I don't want to invest a half hour or whatever, and I just want to turn something on mindless, I find myself going to Netflix, which is kind of interesting, man.
Yeah, well, because Netflix has, I think, more options of stuff like that because it's more, I mean, there are series on there, but it's more movie based. So you can just throw on a movie that you've maybe seen before and you just have it on in the background for noise and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so like, that's what I do a lot of times too, is I'll just throw something on like while I'm cleaning or while I'm doing something else, you know, and just have that on in the background. So like I said, at the moment, HBO Max is what I'm using the most of, but on the norm, it would probably be Netflix.
Yeah,
just for that reason.
I'd say if I'm just searching for something, I'd probably search Netflix because it seems a little easier to find stuff compared to Hulu. Like Netflix, they have like, here's your picture. It shows you what the title of the movie is. Whereas Hulu is just, it's the title. There's no picture. There's no nothing. Yep. So I think Netflix is a little more user-friendly than Hulu is.
Yeah, their user interface is a lot nicer. It's a lot cleaner. They've really mastered that, in all honesty, man. And I love it if you're on Netflix and you're just kind of like scrolling through and then you set down your controller, if you leave it on something for long enough, it'll just start playing. It doesn't even care. It's like, oh, you stepped away for a minute? Let us play this for you.
And then it has the gall to ask you if you're still watching.
Right. Like, yes, it's been 7 hours, but I am still here.
The controller's way over there. I can't hit yes. Just start playing.
Oh, goodness. All right, guys. So I want to stop the show. Go to our website, viewers, moviereviewcrew.com. You can request movies right on our homepage. Like I said, for the entire month of June, we're doing movies that you can stream. And this has been going pretty well because I've enjoyed some of the movies that I wouldn't have seen normally had it not been for this month. So maybe we'll extend it for July. Who knows? Who knows?
Maybe.
But no, to go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com. We have two awesome writers. Matt says he has a brand new article up, so go and check that out on the Two Spooky page. What was it? What was that again for, Matt?
The Lodge.
The Lodge, which I saw earlier this year, and I liked it. Mm. I think I liked it more than Matt, though. So.
Oh.
But that brings us to The Invisible Man. All right, so let's get into The Invisible Man from 2020. Again, this is available to stream on Amazon Prime. It is a $6 rental, I believe. But The Invisible Man from 2020, rated R, 2 hours and 4 minutes long. It's a horror mystery sci-fi film. Synopsis: when Cecilia's abusive ex takes his own life and leaves her his fortune, she suspects his death was a hoax. As a series of coincidences turn lethal, Cecilia works to prove that she is being haunted by someone nobody can see. Written and directed by Lee Whannell. Adapted, I believe, from the original back in like 1934. It's the same.
Adapted from Ghost Dad.
Yep, that's adapted from Ghost Dad.
That's a throwback to last night. Now nobody listening understands that, but you know.
Yeah, we had... God, so to get into that real quick, we had this stupid conversation about other movies where you can't see somebody. And for some reason, I remember the 1990 film Ghost Dad starring Bill Cosby.
Yep.
Oh, man. God, anyway, the Invisible Man stars Elizabeth Moss, Oliver Jackson Cohen, Harriet Dyer, Aldous Hodge, and Storm Reid. And Michael Dorman, actually, wasn't he in that one movie? God. We did a review on it.
Michael Dorman.
Maybe I'm thinking of someone else.
Oh, man. You are notorious for that.
I think I am, guys. I'll just leave it at that.
Just thinking of Guillermo del Toro.
What episode was that?
I think that was Pan's
All
Labyrinth.
Of them?
Yeah.
Because you thought it was directed by the actor.
Yeah, Benicio.
Benicio del Toro.
Different guys. Different guys. Yeah. Anyway, The Invisible Man on Rotten Tomatoes gets a 91% certified fresh from critics, giving it a 7.7 out of 10. An audience score of 88% and an average rating of 4.3. out of 5. Critics' consensus: smart, well-acted, and above all scary, The Invisible Man proves that sometimes the classic source material for a fresh reboot can be hiding in plain sight. So, Steve, you picked it.
Yes, I did.
Why'd you do that?
So, this is one of those movies that came out in 2020 that I didn't really feel like I wanted to watch this movie. I mean, the premise was kind of stupid. It's been done before, but after hearing McNeil talk so much about it, and then Shane watched it and said it was good, I decided to give it a chance. And the director of this, the director wrote, he wrote Saw 2, Saw 3. Mm-hmm. He's a horror movie writer, pretty much. He did Insidious. I was just curious how it was going to be, and it's a 2020 movie, so I could put it on my list for this year.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I had zero expectations. I had seen the trailer and I was like, God, this movie looks trash.
Yeah, and I agree. It looked pretty bad off the trailer.
And I, like, coming out of this, I literally was like, damn, this might be the best movie of 2020 that I've seen. Granted, there's a lot less to pick from this year. But
I think I've seen like 3 2020 movies this year.
Hey, man. That's still top 3.
He's got a point.
I mean, I think this is number 10 for me for the year.
Really?
Yeah, I think, I mean, Shane's at like 25, something like that.
Yeah, but Shane watches a lot of direct-to-DVD garbage.
He does, but he watches pretty much every 2020 movie that's like remotely prominent. Yeah. So,
So when you said number 10 for you, I thought you meant like this is
no,
yeah,
this is my 10th movie of 2020 that I've seen, but this is probably number one.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you seen Bad Boys 3?
Yes, I have. Nostalgia-wise, Bad Boys 3 is fantastic, but it's not. This movie's better, hands down.
All right, where does The Lodge land on that scale?
I mean, since I've only seen 10, I'd probably put it at 3 or 4.
Okay. Fair enough.
I'm with Aaron. I thought it was going towards like instant classic, and then towards the movie it just kind of fell apart, I guess.
Yeah. The Lodge does fall apart a little bit. Whereas this, I did not anticipate the ending of this movie. I don't want to hop straight there in this review. But the things I do want to talk about is I didn't anticipate the ending, and boy, oh boy, is it tense throughout this film. Dude, the way that they just like set up the camera and then characters walk in and out of scene, but the camera doesn't move. And so I feel like the eye is like glancing around the frame, like, is something moving? Is something not moving? And they do that throughout, and it builds suspense in the most beautiful way.
Yeah, the review that you read said it was like, you know, scary. I wouldn't necessarily say the movie's scary, but it is very suspenseful. So like, I'm more on that one. Like, and I'm in the same boat as Steve, and like the same thing I said about the Good Boys movie is going into it, I didn't have high expectations. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember seeing previews for it. I'm like, maybe I'll end up seeing that movie, but probably not. And so I don't know if this is going to affect the score at all, because if I go into a movie expecting it to suck and then it's at the very least decent, or in some cases good, then I might end up giving it a higher score than it probably should get, just because my expectations were exceeded.
Sure.
So I guess maybe once we talk about it, my score will kind of form a little bit. But yeah, like, it wasn't a bad movie. It was a pretty good movie. I do think it was predictable. You said, I know we kind of talked about it before, and you said, oh, I didn't see this coming, or I didn't see that coming. I did see a lot of that stuff coming, but sometimes predictable is the way you have to go with stuff, because if you, like, the things that were predictable, like, if they did it a different way, then it might not have made as much sense.
Sure. Matt, where do you fall on the scale? Did you see the end being predictable?
You know, I didn't. I kind of had a feeling of where the movie was going, but I wasn't, you know, in Brent's camp where like, oh yeah, I can see this coming a mile away. I fall closer to Mike. Like, I didn't specifically see that ending that they had coming. But what I disagree with Brent on is that I do think that this movie is scary, because at its core, this is a very real world horror movie about abusive relationships and gaslighting and all that stuff that comes with it. And for people who have either, you know, lived through that or know somebody who's gone through that, it can be a very difficult, scary movie to watch. And this is by far the best movie I've seen this year. I think The Lodge is probably in a close second, but it's a very well-made movie. Normally you don't expect this type of caliber coming from Blumhouse, but every now and then they knock it out of the park.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with you with it being well-made and stuff like that. I guess for me personally, it wasn't, where's Matt going? It wasn't necessarily scary. It was more suspenseful. And like, sometimes, like, I don't know, like, there's certain movies that I think the suspense adds up, and maybe that could be scarier for some people, but I found it very suspenseful, which, I mean, I'm not, you know, saying it was bad. I was just saying I found it more suspenseful than scary.
For sure.
Yeah, I'm with Brent on this one. I think I found it more suspenseful than scary. And going back to, was it predictable? I think I paused the movie with 25 minutes left because I had to go to the bathroom. And that's when
you were sweating so much. You were like, oh my God, I'm so scared.
Yeah. That's suspenseful. So that's 25 minutes left of the movie is when she shoots the gun in her house. And immediately as I paused it, I saw there was 25 minutes left and I was like, it's the brother. Immediately. Really? Cause, I mean,
spoiler alerts.
We're getting into spoilers. Yeah. If you've listened to us for any amount of time, we're getting into spoilers.
Yeah.
I immediately said it was the brother. But one thing I wanted to say about this movie that I was skeptical about was I don't think I've ever seen Elizabeth Moss anything. And that's kind of why I was skeptical about this, because this type of movie really hinges on her.
Sure.
Acting well in this movie, and I think she hit it out of the park. She was fantastic in this movie,
without a doubt. But you've seen Us, right?
Yes, I have.
She's a bit role in that. She's basically the other family's mom.
Oh yeah.
But that's just like her not given a whole lot to do.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from like act bratty, you know, spoiled rich anyway.
Oh yeah.
But no, this movie completely hinges on Elizabeth Moss's acting ability, and oh my God, is it fantastic. I had only seen her in I've seen like a couple seasons of Mad Men, which she's in. But granted, that's probably 10 years ago now. But this, yeah, she, I don't want to say up and coming, but like, I think we've done some of the, like, what actress that hasn't won an Oscar do you think would win an Oscar in, you know, 5 years? And I would say she's rising up on my list because this was an awesome performance from her.
Yeah, and also, go ahead, Matt, sorry.
No, sorry, go ahead, Brent.
No, I was just going to say, it depends on a lot on, like, what type of role she can get to. She keeps, like I said, this wasn't a bad movie, but movies like this don't win awards, typically. So if she keeps doing movies like this, yeah, no, she's not going to be on any list like that. But if somebody can see this performance and let her branch out into a different type of movie, then, yeah, I can see maybe that happening.
Yeah, and depending on how the rest of the year goes for movies, I'm calling it getting Toni Collette'd, because I think that this is another Oscar worthy performance that isn't even going to get a nomination. That happened with Toni Collette in Hereditary, happened with Lupita Nyong'o in Us.
That's what I was gonna say.
And then it's gonna happen with Elizabeth Moss in this 3 years in a row. This is a whole separate conversation, so I'm not going to open that can of worms completely, but the Academy needs to look at horror movies for Oscar performances, because in the last few years, horror has really stepped its game up, and there's a lot of good performances out there, and I don't think it's fair that they just get glossed over like that.
I think you definitely could see a chance where Elizabeth Moss is able to get an Oscar nomination this year, just because of kind of how the year has fell out or fell into place. I mean, March through July, we're going to have no movies in theaters.
Yeah.
I mean, so there's a good possibility that she could still land one, but like you said, it's most likely just going to get glossed over because of being in the horror genre.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is. I wonder how the Academy and all award shows this year, honestly, because like movies just aren't being released. So I wonder how that, like, that's a conversation for a different time.
Yeah, but there's probably going to be a lot of like record of like, you know, Netflix or Amazon movies, you know, being nominated.
Mm-hmm. Lauren Lapkus for The Wrong Missy.
I don't know about that, Mike.
There was only 7 movies released this year. We have the nominator.
Yep. That's, you know, never know. You never know. No, back to The Invisible Man, though. The framing and how the movie was shot, though, phenomenal. One of the best horror movies, like cinematography I've seen in a long while. And I think that goes hand in hand with like their visual effects. Because like you can't make this movie without a strong visual effects category, because you have to have an invisible man, you know, altering things in reality.
That's I mean, a lot of that has to go with the acting too, because they're basically reacting to nothing.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, that has to feel completely silly when you're doing it, but you have to make it serious and like you're being attacked, but you're just flopping around in front of camera. So I mean, they had to feel extremely silly doing that.
I would love to see a behind the scenes when she gets attacked in the like the dining room in the kitchen. I'm not sure if they did all of that with wire work or if there was like green screen involved or something, but it looked really, really good.
I'm willing to put money that it's a guy in a green costume just dragging her about. Yes, Steve?
So I looked, I think it was on the trivia on IMDb, they mentioned that pretty much any time that his invisible man is supposed to be on the screen, there's a guy in a green suit in his place, so they have something to talk to. And then I did read on for McNeil, when she gets tossed over the table or whatever, they have 2 guys in the room with her, and she's on wires. So the 2 guys like toss her, and the wires take her across the table. So it's a little bit of wires, people, green suits. So.
Yep. Which, could you imagine if, you know, they knew how to do that during Star Wars?
No, they just computer generate everything.
Right. And let's not have a stand-in or anything. Let's just have them talk to nothing like wooden dolls.
Yep.
Oh man. What else do we want to talk about? Was there? I didn't notice music in this film. Actually,
I think it was very subtle background music that just went with the mood. So like, it's nothing that like took away from the movie. So I mean, I don't really, like I said, I can't really think of a specific instance where I was like, oh, the music really added to this, or the music really took away from this.
Right.
Yeah. The music is very muted. Most of the time, there's not any. It's just the camera lingering in an empty room and Elizabeth Moss freaking out about it, which is perfect. Like, I'm glad that they didn't try to put in some kind of epic score to go along with that.
Staring off into the chair and it's like, doo-doo-doo, doo-doo-doo. No.
Like Dreamscape, the 80s synth, just. Oh, God. Man. There's got to be more to talk about.
Earlier when they, like I said, McNeil said he thought it was scary and like me and Steve were more on the suspenseful side. I will say that as far as being scary, I thought it was a little scary or freaky, if you want to call that, when his suit kind of started malfunctioning and he would like blink in and out and you could see him and not see him. And he would just like pop up behind somebody. Like that actually was a bit scary, I guess, if you want to say that.
Yeah. On going from that, I thought it was really unique how they did this suit with like cameras everywhere on it, which is pretty cool. And like you said earlier, it's like a real world situation where this could be a possibility, you know, potentially.
Instead of somebody just drinking a potion and becoming invisible.
Right. But one thing, I did not like the exposition surrounding who his character was, because he's only at the beginning of the movie, he's only in there for like 5 minutes, and then we hear from his brother Tom like, oh, are you kidding, he is the world's greatest lens manufacturer, whatever the hell he was, I don't even know, but he, like, you just hear all this exposition about who this guy was instead of actually seeing a whole lot of it.
Yeah, but he's also, I mean, what would you rather have done, that they put in like these weird flashbacks? Like, I don't think that would have worked at all.
Well, they did it, or actually they did it where she is like picking up stuff from the house, and you see his laboratory, and you see, like, I think a plaque on the wall, or maybe it's a piece of paper that's like something or other, and it's like, leave it at that. We don't need
show lens degree.
Yeah. Lens
you
doctor.
Went to camera school.
Yeah. Well, they also when her sister shows up to the house, she shows him the article on the phone, and it says something about him being this high up in optics.
Right, that's what it was.
Yeah. So I think his brother mentioned something about it, but mostly it shows this article. Hey, this guy's a world renowned in optics, and he committed suicide.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think there's a scene where Elizabeth Moss's character says something like, "Well, I know he's still alive. He could have figured out some way. You know, he's got the optic thingy or whatever. Yeah. I don't know exactly what it is." So there's like, there is some like dialogue that goes with it, but like they probably could have just stuck with like the, you know, articles and like little clues here or there.
Yeah, I mean that stuff didn't bother me too much. What really the plot hole that really dug its heels in for me is that when she goes up into the attic and she finds his phone with pictures of her sleeping, and then she doesn't immediately just take that to the cops. Like, here, there's all your evidence. That's literally all you need. And then the rest of the movie can be a manhunt where they're looking for him.
But
when she put the phone back down, I was like, why did she do that? Just take the phone.
But what is like, that going to prove?
It would prove that she's not crazy. Like, even if they don't believe that there's an invisible man watching her, it proves that somebody is watching her, somebody is messing with her, and somebody is making her do this. And, like, she's not crazy. Somebody is stalking her.
Well,
because it's a new picture with her in the bed with the other guy's daughter, where they're, like, just sleeping there. So she obviously didn't take the picture. It's on her boyfriend's phone. So, I mean, it would have proved that somebody is at least messing with her.
I kind of said that as soon as she sees that he sent the email to her sister or whatever. Why not tell the I can't think of his name, Aldous Hodge, the dad, the cop. Why not tell him? But I think immediately when he gets home from that, he slaps his little girl and then she runs out. So, I mean, I tried to like, hey, she should tell somebody, but like immediately after that happened, he slaps the little girl and then she gets kicked out of the house. So
yeah,
you could say that she could go run to somebody, but like the cops, honestly, with those pictures, they could say, well, can't see your face. So how am I supposed to know that this is you or not?
Yeah. Well, and the thing, like, she's attacked in the attic shortly after, so.
Yeah, but before the attack happened, she put the phone back down.
Yeah.
Like, no. At the very least, I'm going to put the phone in my pocket, and then if I get attacked, I'd still run from the house like the way she did. But,
yeah.
I mean, just take the phone with you. She knew she had to go back down anyways.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. I don't know. Again, I don't want to, like, crucify this movie for having like one plot hole, because
well,
I think
and really that's the only one. Like, everything else is executed fantastically. That's just the one hang up where I'm like, well, I mean, if she'd have done this, that kind of the whole rest of the movie would have played out differently. But it's a small enough detail that I can forgive it, because the rest of the movie is just so well done.
The one thing I do question in this movie is that he pretty much has super strength throughout any time he has a suit. But you could then answer that with, he's invisible, so you can't really see him.
And he works out.
But still, he's like tossing these people around like they're like rag dolls throughout the movie.
Yeah. I mean, well, I think it does kind of go to like, you can brace for something if you see like a fist coming at you.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not even expecting anything, you're just going to get clobbered, you know? So I get that, though, because it does seem like he is just a giant of a man. And
be like, he would one punch either knock people out or kill them or whatever. Like, all those guards he punched, I don't know if they just got knocked out or if they died.
Yeah.
Well, he did shoot a lot of them.
So. Yeah, but there were some that he just, like, would punch and then they'd go, gone. I'm like, are they dead? Did he like break their nose up into their skull and kill them, or did he just knock them out?
Yup, all of the above. All of the above.
I mean, do we want to talk about the ending that you guys
mentioned
earlier? Yeah, Mike, you did want to talk about the ending.
Yeah, man, I did not. I think the way that she set it up of like, we're going to catch this guy. And then she basically, well, no, she kills him. Spoiler alert. She kills him
with the suit,
using a suit. And I didn't, Brent said like he knew that there was a second suit. And I didn't quite click with me when I was watching the movie that there was a second suit. So I didn't realize that like it could be her brother or his brother, Tom, or whatever. You know what I mean? So like that whole thing happens, right? And so you see her hide the suit and then go back to the house at the very end of the movie. And then it's starting to click for me and she kills him. And I'm like, damn, case closed. This is the best ending in a horror movie because she gets her revenge and it's, I don't know. It was just like a just ending. You know what I mean?
It's a very satisfying ending.
Yeah.
With the ending of her killing him, that I don't know if I necessarily saw that coming. Like, I mean, I guess there was always a chance that something like that could happen, but I didn't necessarily see that. But the brother, like, I thought that was kind of obvious, especially after she talked to his brother the second time, and he was like, oh, we'll be watching you. Like, he made it obvious that he was helping him. I mean, sure. Yeah, he tried to make it seem like he was just helping him on the legal side of it and like the whole part of that, but like especially when he leans in, he's like, oh, we'll be watching you. I'm like, well, there's two suits at the least two suits, because he was wearing one and then she saw the other one.
Yep.
So I'm like, he's gonna be in a suit at some point. I didn't know like when, but when he got shot and then before they took the mask off, I'm like, okay, that's definitely the brother.
See, I thought it was gonna be end right there, case closed, and I was like, oh, okay, interesting.
I think me help pausing it at that 25 minute mark kind of like, it's like, okay, there's 25 minutes left. It's the brother, sure. Obviously. But I went through the trivia on this movie and kind of, they're like, oh, there's clues that this is, there's two suits and there's this happens and this happens. But I think for the most part, that it's a pretty satisfying ending of this movie.
Without a doubt. One thing I did want to bring up as well, This movie, for like the first half, you don't really see the killer at all, right? Like hear me out. If this movie,
Wait, hear me out.
If
I don't know why
you don't see the Invisible Man for like the first half of the movie.
You don't see him for half of the movie. I'm like, you don't really see him throughout any of the movie. Really.
Hear me out. If this movie was not titled The Invisible Man, and if it just had some generic like name,
The Killer Man,
sure, you would be like questioning, is this girl psycho, is this girl, yeah. You know what I mean? And I think they did
do a good job on that, and at one point I was almost hoping that it was just her all in her head and it wasn't really an invisible man.
Yeah.
Well, I thought they were kind of setting it up as she is crazy because she drops her medicine, and then you could have gone to, well, she's not been taking her medicine, so obviously she's clearly crazy.
Yep, dude. And like I said, like this movie, had it not been titled The Invisible Man, I would have been so much like, oh shit, where's this going? But I thought the red herring of the medicine getting thrown out there, because you're wondering that for the first half of the movie, I thought it was fantastic. This movie, honestly, is a new classic for me. This is something I could watch again just to revisit.
And to try to pick up on clues that you might have missed the first time around,
like two suits or something. What were you saying? No, what are you going to say? I was going to say, does anyone want to rate it? But what do you got to say?
That's what I was going to ask. I think we're ready to rate it. I think it's perfect time for it.
Yeah. I don't want to go first. I'll just say that.
Steve, you picked it. Do you want to start us off?
Yeah, I'll start it off for first time.
All right.
I thought this movie was fantastic. 2020's best movie so far. I mean, I know we're only in June, halfway through the year almost.
Yep.
But this movie is great. Story's great. Acting by Elizabeth Moss is that's damn near perfect for this movie. The twist at the I wouldn't really call it a twist. It's pretty good. Visual effects are great. I'm going to go ahead and give it a 9.
Solid. Solid. Matt?
Yeah, to piggyback off of that, I'm right with Steve on this. This is my number one movie of the year so far. Elizabeth Moss absolutely carries this movie with a powerhouse performance. It's filmed really well. An empty room has never felt more foreboding in a movie before. So I'm also giving this a 9.
Solid. Brent, what about you?
I did enjoy this movie. I'm not as high as them, apparently. it was a good movie. Like I said, I did find it a little predictable, but like sometimes that's just how you have to do a movie. So I'm going to give it, 7.75 ghost dads.
God, bringing in clutch with the ghost dad. I love it. I'm giving it higher than Brent, lower than the rest, 8.5. Again, this movie, it's my favorite of the year. I expected so little from it, and it over-delivered and then some. And knowing that this director has done like movies like Saw, I want to go through the rest of his filmography and watch, but then I look at it and I'm like,
No, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But it could be like this too, because like all of us besides maybe Matt have said, like, seeing the previews, we thought that this movie was going to be just complete garbage.
Oh, no, I completely dismissed this movie with the previews as well. Like, the whole, there's someone sitting in that chair. I was like, this is going to be one cornball of a movie. But then it wasn't.
He's actually only directed a few movies.
He's mostly the writer for all of those movies I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, he directed Insidious Chapter 3 Upgrade, which I believe some of us saw.
I think Shane did.
Yeah. And then this one. He's also going to do who it looks like Escape from New York reboot.
Oh, snap.
Interesting. Yep.
That's what Shane had mentioned in our text.
Yep. So final score, though, 8.57 Ghost Dads, which is just over a B+. So it's an A-. 8.57 A-.
I mean, I gave it the lowest score, but I'll accept that.
Yeah, I think it's well deserving of an A, in all honesty. All right, guys. So like I said earlier, for the entire month of June, we're doing movies you can stream, whether it be on a service or renting online. So go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com, and you can request movies right on our homepage. Shane's pick next week.
Right. Might not have an episode next week because 3 or 4 of us are going to be out of town. So
yeah.
It might be 2 weeks.
Maybe me, Brent, and Matt will get on and talk about something. We'll figure it out.
There you go.
We might have to take a week off, but otherwise you will hear from us in the future. Anything else, gentlemen?
No, sir.
All right, someone on the show.
Tell your friends.
Let's go, but inconspicuously. Through the window.
Lady, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave the store.
Okay, that's it. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Game over, man. Game over. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do?
Good night and good luck.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Movie Review Crew. Remember to like us and find us on any of your favorite social media platforms, as well as go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com.
You still here? It's over. Go home. Go.